Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, Rabbi Eric Greenberg, their friends and family, the State of Israel. And we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends and loyal listeners worldwide.
Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one radio show. You might be wondering why this is so. Memorable quotes, life lessons, and so much more. The Coach's Corner will make you soar. All outstanding guests that we love to feature. You will find the show to be the best teacher. Great authors like Ted Siuba and Bernie Siegel. Awesome leaders that soar like an eagle. Beverly Nadler with Here's to Your Health. Home business opportunities to increase your wealth. Kurt's impersonation and improvisation add to the show's transformation, broadcasting live across America and around the globe with timely topics and issues to probe. The chat room is always fun. We see your comments and appreciate each one. Want to change your life? Change your approach.
And hire me, Joyce Barry, to be your great coach. Folks, thanks for tuning in today. And who I would have is my favorite rabbis. We have both of them on the show today. Imagine that. Two extraordinary rabbis, Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, who will be on the first half of the show, and Rabbi Eric Greenberg for the second half. This month, we proudly recognize the more than 350-year history of Jewish contributions to American culture. It is Jewish American Heritage Month. So today you'll hear some of the extraordinary achievements, perhaps some miracles of the Jewish people. You will find this information enjoyable and fascinating. This show is for people of all faiths. Folks, you don't have to be Jewish. I am Jewish and very proud of it. And I'm very happy, excited, and blessed today, as I said, to have my favorite rabbis. First, we'll start off with Rabbi Joseph Potasnik. Go ahead, Rabbi.
Well, I'm glad you got the favorite in the right sequence, so I thank you for, for putting me first.
Well, the reason I just have to say that you're my favorite is because you introduced me to Rabbi Greenberg. That made him my favorite.
And he hasn't forgiven me since.
Don't hold
Anyway, thanks so much, Joyce. But you have done something very, very special, and that is you've highlighted this Jewish Heritage Month, because truthfully, I find many people, and particularly in our community, are aware of Israel independence, are aware of Holocaust remembrance, but frankly, they don't know that there's a month that's been dedicated to Jewish heritage. And I think there's a statement there that we need to be proud of who we are, but we can't be proud of who we are unless we know who we are. So hopefully this sends a message, and others will follow suit, that we need to do more to enlighten people, to educate people about the contributions that we have made. Just as, you know, there's Black History Month. And by the way, I think more people are aware of Black History Month than they are of Jewish Heritage Month. And, you know, we believe that everybody should get recognition. But frankly, we shouldn't ignore our own contribution and only seek to recognize what others have done. So it's an important thing
that
you're doing.
Excuse me, Rabbi, I just have to interject one thing. I have been doing shows on Black History Month since the inception of this show, 8 years. I have top civil rights leaders. I did not know there was a Jewish Heritage Month until perhaps 2 weeks ago when I immediately called you and Rabbi Greenberg. I didn't know. So for decades, I've been doing Black History Month. So there you go.
Yeah, so I don't know, maybe we take for granted, but I think it's not that good a story. In the sense we take for granted, I think what it is we don't take time to see what exactly is special. I look at calendars. I've looked at a number of Jewish calendars. Joyce, I have not found a calendar anywhere that says Jewish History Month or Jewish Heritage Month. And that's a sad commentary because we have much to be proud of, but we also have to do a better job in promoting what we have to be proud of. You know, my father taught me years ago. He said, Joe, I don't care what kind of Jew you are, but be proud of the Jew you are. So I'd like to have a denomination out there that transcends all of the other denominational definitions of proud Jews. And we have to do a better job, all of us, in seeing to it that people understand that the commitment of the Jewish community to America, to wherever they have been, has been really exemplary. And hopefully more people will understand and appreciate all that we mean to the greater community and to our own community. You know, we're very big on what's called Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam means improving the world, repairing the world. It's a phrase that's been used over and over again. My problem with it is the Tikkun Olam has come to mean for some that we repair the world for others, but we don't repair our own. That we do for others, but we don't do for ourselves. That we highlight the contributions of others, but we don't highlight the contributions of our own. So let's not overlook the family, our own family, you know, for all of our friends out there, and not highlight the great work of the Jewish community over the years.
Mm-hmm. I say amen to that. And you're right about the calendar. I've never seen it. I was stunned when I found out that this was Jewish American History Month. So your point was well taken.
You know, Joyce, years ago, I remember being in a church, and the minister came over to me, and he showed me a Christian calendar. And he said, look at this Christian calendar. Isn't it something that we have Holocaust remembrance on the Christian calendar? And I said, Reverend, that's really terrific. There's only one problem. I don't see any reference to Israel independence. And while it's important to memorialize those who have given their lives, I'd like to celebrate those who are alive and have done so much to enrich our people. So, you know, there are some people very good at lighting memorial candles, but when it comes to anniversary candles, they're missing in action. So that's why this month, that's why Israel independence, that's why the celebrations we have, the positive moments need to be identified. So it's not all about sadness. You know very well, Joyce, and Rabbi Greenberg, if we only teach our kids about victimhood, if we only tell them how much we suffered, you know what they're going to say to us? Why should I be Jewish? There's nothing but pain in this. There's no sense of privilege. You know, it's all about persecution. So we need to do more to have them look at the other chapters of Jewish life, not just the sadness and the suffering over the years.
And Lord knows we've had our share of miracles, too. So much in our culture and in our life are about miracles. So we need to focus on all of it to really understand our heritage, where we came from, what's going on right now, and where we wish to go.
You know, I think of over the years, my parents were Holocaust survivors, and whenever I would go to the cemetery with my folks, my dad would look down at graves of people that he knew. We didn't have much family here. Most of them were taken from us. But at least he would look at graves of loved ones, of friends, and he'd say very simply in Yiddish, Mizan and Dor, we're here. And I often thought to myself, that's a great statement of the triumph of the Jewish people, that we are still here in spite of those who wanted to deny us, you know, the ability to be here. So You know, I was looking at a story that just came out about a woman who, a Holocaust survivor, after all these years, finally got her high school diploma because she couldn't do it in Europe. And she waited. She's now, what, I think early 90s. And she got a high school diploma. And she says, I won. They didn't. I did. Well, we may have won. We paid a huge price for it. But the fact that we are here, Ms. Einendorf, is a statement that we have a steadfast spirit that refuses to succumb to passive resignation. We didn't give up. We continue to fight. Thankfully, there are others who are willing to fight for us and with us, and we are here. I just got a text message a few moments ago from someone that Rabbi Greenberg and I know well, Pastor Bill Devlin. Mm. And Pastor Bill Devlin is a great friend of the Jewish people, and he said to me, "Could I march with you on Sunday at the Salute to Israel, a Celebrate Israel parade?" Now, he's a Christian pastor. It's a Sunday. You know, he could be in church, but he said, I want to march with the Jewish people. I want to march with the Jewish people on Sunday. That's something that I don't minimize. That's something that I want to, you know, also pay tribute to, that there are people out there, and there'll be a number of Christians in that parade who'll be standing with us and saying, we are with the Jewish people. So, yeah, you can look at everything that's wrong, but I like to say, you know, the thing to do is, after you read what's wrong, see what's right, and maybe you'll be energized.
I just want to say that it was you that also introduced me to Father Brian McWeeny, who's a regular guest on our show as well. On Christmas Day, what could be more important to him than that day? He always does our Christmas show. So, I mean, how extraordinary is that?
I think he has to go to confession because of that. I think he has to seek some kind of forgiveness because of that. But yeah, there's another friend of the Jewish people. And by the way, we're mentioning individuals, but you know there are many, many out there who are not being mentioned. Look, I had an experience last week. There was a fire at a former synagogue. Hadn't been used in years on the Lower East Side. Called Beit Medrash HaGadol, Great House of Study. And I arrive on the scene, Lower East Side, and one of the firefighters comes over to me.
I have no idea where that's coming from. That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
I have no idea. Let me try to... I'll call you back, maybe. I don't know whose line it is.
Yeah, hold on.
I'll call you back another line. I think it's over. Hello?
Oh, now it is over, but that is really weird.
Well, I think you're... Okay. Well, now your show is bilingual.
It was the South American audience going in.
Yeah.
That is really weird. Okay.
So anyway, I arrive on the Lower East Side, and there was a fire in a synagogue, a major fire. It was a 4 or 5 alarm fire. And one of the firefighters comes over to me and says, Rabbi, I just want to assure you there are no Torahs in that sanctuary. And I thought to myself, here is a Christian firefighter who is ready to go into a raging fire to save Sifrei, to save, you know, the Holy Scrolls. If that doesn't say something about commitment, I don't know what does. So you have people of different faiths who are there with us and for us, and we need to say thank you over and over again. I know it's very easy to find the enemies. All you have to do is pick up the newspapers.
Right.
But we also need to find the friends, and there are many. You mentioned Father McWeeny. I mentioned Bill Devlin. I think of the Cardinal of New York, Timothy Dolan, who in his Christmas homily spoke of Jewish texts, Jewish sources. Now, you know, my parents looking down never would have thought that a cardinal would be making these favorable pronouncements about the Jewish people. But we are living in a different time. There are new chapters that have been written, and we need to, you know, to read them, especially during, you know, this month where we're so proud or supposed to be proud of who we are as a people.
When you say, you know, we are proud, and of course we are proud, and we have a lot of Christian friends who are proud along with us, but given the contributions of Jewish Americans, I can't figure out why anti-Semitism is still so prevalent around the world.
That is a lingering question. I would have thought after all of these years, with all of our education, that we would have found an answer to it. But one of the things that you learn and we have learned over the years, is education can make you smart. It doesn't make you moral. There are people who have all kinds of degrees, and those people were able to develop, you know, death camps and Nuremberg laws and all the sophisticated weaponry to destroy human life. So there are many people out there who have, you know, the education, but they don't have the moral core. I don't know. You can easily say, well, it's jealousy. They resent what the Jews have done. I'd like to spend more time on being the best that we can be rather than why they don't like us. They're not going to like us no matter what we do. People who hate continue to hate. And all we can do is just be strong in who we are. My father used to say, if an anti-Semite lives next door to you, let him stay up all night. You go to sleep. So we'll concentrate on our commitment. They'll focus. And at the end of the day, where does it get them? All the anti-Semites, look at Jewish history. Look at the Babylonians, the Romans, the Assyrians. Look at all of them. They're no longer with us. So hatred, you pay a price for being a hate monger, and you get a reward for being a contributor to life. And I'll take the contributions.
But here's the thing. We have so many extraordinary contributions. The same people that are espousing anti-Semitism are benefiting by the medicine contributions, the inventions we have. They're benefiting by it every day, and yet they still strive to make the Jewish people wrong.
Well, was it Abdel Nasser who was the ruler of Egypt, had a Jewish doctor. you find people who have benefited greatly from Jewish contributions, and yet they resent Jewish people as well. I don't know. Maybe Rabbi Greenberg can find an answer. But if we had an answer, truthfully, I think we would have eradicated much of it. But we are. You know, you look to some of the areas of the world where we're making progress. For example, the UN has been a cesspool of hatred over the years. We now have a new Secretary General Guterres from Portugal, who has become a friend, who goes into that arena and speaks about anti-Semitism. He speaks about the anti-Israel sentiment. That's one little glimmer, on a scene that has too much darkness. But there's a little glimmer of light there. Obviously, we have Nikki Haley, who has been outstanding in her recognition of not only Israel's right, but the rejection by all of the other member states there against Israel. So, you know, we look for those areas of celebration, and we'll continue hopefully to increase them. But I think no matter what, we are a people that is determined to live. And no matter how much they seek to destroy us, we're here, and many of them are not. So we'll continue to stay strong, be strong, and achieve much more.
And the good news
Go ahead, Rabbi Greenberg.
I was just saying, the good news is that we are making this progress, and with the leadership of people like Rabbi Potasnik, making friends and relationships with the evangelical world, with the Catholic world, with Mormons, with other religious faiths of leaders of goodwill, and we're building that kind of structure that will serve us in the future of having more friends and more allies, not only for the Jewish people but for Israel as well. And so there is a positive note that we can pursue.
You know, I look at the Palestinian story. It's a tragic one. And here are people that have been given opportunity after opportunity and have refused to better themselves. And, you know, you look at the dichotomy. You go to Israel, you see the Arab areas, you see the Israeli areas, and you say you were given this chance to have same life that we have in Israel, and you squandered it. You violated the terms. You refused to better your people. So there are a number of young Palestinian leaders today who are saying, what did we get for all of this? What did our leadership achieve? with all of the hatred of the Jews. Rabbi Greenberg introduced me to, you know, a Syrian. His name is Shadi Martini.
Yeah.
Right? And here's one who said, I grew up learning to hate Israel. Then when we were in trouble, we were suffering in Syria. It was the Israelis who came forward with their medical expertise, with their human rights commitment to help us. So, you know, you look at that and say, all of the years, look at the evil that you use to eradicate human life, and look at the goodness used to perpetuate life. You have a choice. That's what the Bible says. I give you a choice between life and death. Choose life. Now, it's sad that you have to tell people to choose life, but frankly, there are people who choose death over life. And I just think that there will come a time when this young generation will say, why can't we be like anybody else? Tom Friedman, who spoke much and wrote much about globalism, said, you know, when you through the internet, things will change because people will be able to see what others have accomplished. And I would just hope that those words, you know, resonate with many who say, why can't we have what they have? And we don't have to have what they have by killing them. We have to have what they have by emulating them. So we'll continue to push that that story and that message and continue to reach out. We still pray for peace. We still pursue peace. We don't give up on people. But it's just a shame that, you know, in that garden of life, people choose thorns rather than roses, and they choose to murder rather than celebrate the great human potential.
Rabbi, I want to ask you this. My whole life I grew up with the greatest respect for rabbis and appreciation of them and going to temple at a very young age. I grew up with an Orthodox family. What led you to the path of being a rabbi? Because I consider you the best of the best.
And I agree with your assessment.
I never asked you that. What
you're very,
you
you're,
on
very,
that
you're very kind. You're overly generous. For me, frankly, it was because of my parents who suffered so much, who lost, you know, their children. Five children they lost between them during the Holocaust. I grew up as a result of their second marriage. I saw pictures of five kids. I saw pictures of other loved ones who were lost, and I said, I have to do something for them. And to me, the rabbinate was a path for memorializing them in the most meaningful way, not just remembering the sacrifice, but renewing the commitment. Someone said, we lost a third of our people, so we have to give a third more. We have to do a third more. And I felt the more could come about by being a rabbi and inspiring others to come forward and to stand with the Jewish people. So that's the reason I became a rabbi. I never regretted it. I think it's
May
a noble
I ask how old you are when you started the path?
Well, it was shortly, you know, I went to college thinking I would be going to be a doctor, keeping with my mother's wishes. And then second year of college, I realized, because I went to Yeshiva University, I realized that, you know, I really enjoyed the theology classes. So I was inspired there. Matter of fact, I may have told you that when I chose to be a rabbi and then I finally became one, my mother would call me every Wednesday at the office. And she'd say, you know, Joe, if you would listen to me, you'd be off today because doctors were off on Wednesdays.
Oh, my God.
Historically. So, you know, she said that this would have been your day off and now you're working. But they were proud, you know, for Holocaust survivors to come to America and to see a child become a rabbi when they were denied the opportunity to be Jews, I think was a defining moment for them. So I'm proud of the decision and I honor them. And they honored me.
And we're all the better for this, his decision, by the way.
Yeah, what I was going to say is I've certainly had my share of major health challenges, extraordinary life challenges, and any time I got that kind of news that I had to cope with, I called you, and you always made me feel better, always gave me hope.
My favorite
when I did survive cancer three times, and now I'm dealing with the fourth time. Right here, right now, and I said, it's over, Rabbi, it's over, and you said, no, they didn't mean you. That's only for people who play baseball and commit three crimes. That made me feel so much better.
Look, I think one of the things we begin to realize as we get older is people remember us not so much for great sermons, but for the personal moments of presence, of embrace, of being there. I often hear people say, look, I remember so-and-so came to visit me in the hospital. So-and-so came to visit me during your Shiva call. Mm. So-and-so called me when I was down. That's what people want. The ministry of presence, just to know that someone out there is connected to you and cares about you. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't, you know, give inspiring messages, but you also need that individual attention. So I think that if I've contributed in some way, that makes me feel that I've done something worthwhile. So you just continue to do what you're doing. And by the way, I think your passion for the work that you do in enlightening people about the contributions of different peoples in different parts of the world, of the positive news. We hear a lot about fake news. Well, there's a lot of positive news that needs to be conveyed. And you do that, Joyce, on a regular basis. And for that, we salute you.
And that's what holds me together, knowing that I'm making a difference every day, one person and one positive action at a time. And that's literally what keeps me going. But beyond your extraordinary skills as a man of faith, you are so funny that I can call you just because I need a good laugh. And to have that combination of wisdom and wit, that's very rare. The only exception to that is Rabbi Greenberg.
Oh, no,
absolutely. You know, somebody said years ago to one of the consul generals, he says, you know, you ought to do stand-up comedy. He said, thank you, but if you look at Jewish history, there's been too much sit-down tragedy. Stand-up comedy is a good thing. We can stand up and laugh about certain things. That's a great blessing, I think. And again, when you look at all of the contributions, read all the chapters, not just some of the chapters, I think you can walk away feeling very proud of a people, very inspired by all of the contributions that have been made over the years by so many people who occupy different places on that religious spectrum. You know, the founders of Israel, those who helped the state, were not all religious. Many people were secular. Many people felt that Israel was their religion. And I think there's a lesson for all of us that we have to open our doors as widely as possible. You know, James Joyce said, here comes everybody. Well, we in the Jewish world, here comes everybody. There have to be, you know, people who identify with Jewish life and walk through different doors. Not everybody is the same. Tonight, for example, on the west side of New York, the JCC, the Jewish Community Center, will have all kinds of programs for Shavuot, the holiday of giving the Torah. Not all of them are educational. Not all of them are religious. They're going to have, the pool is going to be open. And people hope that by after they go into the pool, they'll go into the shul. You do both. So who knows what gets people to walk through, but you don't close off doors. And I think we have to do more in terms of encouraging people to come through and make a commitment in different ways. Eric, Rabbi Greenberg knows many people involved in the multi-faith alliance, helping, you know, the Syrian refugee cause. And for them, that's their religious commitment. That's what they're doing. They may not be seen at services Saturday or Sunday, but they know they're doing something to help others who are suffering. So don't write people off. Don't close doors. Don't, denigrate people because they choose a different path. On the contrary, we need to create room for all. Let me just leave you with one story that, you know, it said that when you go to the wall in Israel, there's one wall, the outer wall, the retaining wall. And they said there were four walls. One wall was built by the priests. One wall was built by the Levites. One wall was built by the Israelites. The fourth wall was built by everybody together. And the wall that remains is the one built by everybody together. And I hope there's a lesson there for all, that what ultimately remains is that which we do together as a people, both as a particular people, as a universal people. But we need to find more collaborative endeavors. You've done that, Joyce. Rabbi Greenberg has done that. Father McQueenie has done that. We need to connect with people as much as possible. So I thank you for this opportunity. I know Rabbi Greenberg is going to come on and just wow you with all of his information. But I hope at the end of the day people say, you know, I stand a little bit taller because I learned something I didn't know before.
And I just want to ask you, Rabbi, since it's all about achievement and appreciation of all of that this month of celebration, what one thing would you single out in particular as a major achievement of the Jewish people that we can all be proud of?
I think the state of Israel. I think when you look at the fact that we have a parade, Celebrate Israel Parade Sunday, the largest parade in the world, and we have people walking together, celebrating, you know, the creation and continuation of the State of Israel, that is remarkable. Who would have thought after the Holocaust, after we lost so many, that we would see a State of Israel? So to me, that is great. And I tell you something else. The other story is the existence of Jews in the diaspora. The fact that we were able to succeed as a people when we didn't have a State of Israel. The fact, you know, when we were decimated in so many places, when we were, you know, expelled in so many places, that we continued to thrive in other places. That also was a miracle. So there are great miracles, and we should just say thank God and thank one another and thank all of our friends who have been there for us to make sure that we would we'd still be here.
And
one more thing, Rabbi. Go ahead,
I was just
Rabbi
say before
Greenberg.
Rabbi Pataznik leaves, he reminds us that tonight is the beginning of a major, in terms of both theologically and practically, holiday, the Shavuot. And this is when we go back and remember one of the great contributions, which is the Ten Commandments, which is what Moses gave the world through God. So that's something that that also is something we can be proud of. And we should
absolutely
study.
Absolutely. Great answer. And Rabbi, I never let you leave without a blessing. So I would appreciate your giving our listeners, all of us, a blessing.
Well, Joyce, there is an interesting concept that when we say the word holy in our liturgy, in our prayers, we stand on the soles of our feet to stand a little bit higher. And the prayer I would offer is, may all of us find holiness, not by removing ourselves from society, but by remaining in society, standing a little bit higher, and holding others so they stand higher, and may all of us stand holier and higher together as a people.
Amen.
Amen. And Rabbi, you know we greatly appreciate you. My only complaint is I can't get you on the show more often.
I've warned the staff here. That's, you know.
We've got to do something about that. I'll elicit Rabbi Greenberg's help. So thank you so much, Rabbi.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Rabbi Greenberg. And you
okay,
have a wonderful Shavuot. Enjoy. Stay well. We need you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay,
I can always count on you to make me laugh and have a great blessing. Folks, Rabbi Pataznik is the former president and presently the executive vice president of the New York Board of Rabbis, the largest interdenominational body of its kind in the world. Next, we're bringing on Rabbi Eric Greenberg, a leading interfaith expert, communications and program director, and an international award-winning reporter. He has had meetings with three Roman Catholic popes, St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict VI, and Pope Francis. And we are so blessed today, two for the price of one. Welcome to the show, Rabbi Greenberg.
Thank you, Joyce. It's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to listen to both you and Rabbi Pataznik and all the wonderful ideas and strategies that come out of it, which is what I want to pursue with you in the next half hour or so.
And both of you, I just want to say, could carry a two-hour show alone without any issue. So I'm very grateful for whatever time I get. Before you start, I just want to break away for one moment to tell people that you should be listening to our show every day, because every day we offer you inspiration, motivation, and an education. And here in the wise words of our health guru, Beverly Nadler, are some good reasons to listen.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce Barry and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to JoyceBarryandFriends.com. That's the home page of our show. And right under my picture on the upper left, it says follow. And if you click on that, you'll know about every show, every guest, every topic. You need not miss any of our special shows, because if you can't join us when we are on live at 11 a.m. till noon weekdays, Eastern Time, you can catch any show 24/7 in our archives. So do become a follower. We have extraordinary shows always designed to impact your health and make a difference in your life. Folks, I just want to say, tune in tomorrow. We have Joel Freeman. He is literally a genius. No kidding. He's authored about 21 books. He travels to Israel a few times a year, takes a group of people with him, and he is an amazing. He has given us many shows on the historical significance of Israel, so much more. And, folks, between you and I, he's not even Jewish. Okay, Rabbi Greenberg, you're on.
Okay, well, you know, I was inspired by your conversation with Rabbi Potasnik, and I know you have, I agree 100% with him about your passion and the ideas that you bring to the table. One thing that occurs to me, and maybe we could develop this as we go along, we now learned that in many Jewish calendars, the month to celebrate American Jewish heritage, it's not mentioned. Perhaps we can start some kind of a movement, a petition of some kind, to tell the makers of Jewish calendars to include that in their calendars. Rabbi Potasnik mentioned that very nicely before, that you look at a calendar and you say, well, wait a second, why isn't Jewish Heritage Month acknowledged? So I just wanted to throw that out to you as an idea, if you what you thought about that, and maybe we can
I'm on board.
Yeah.
And we can suggest to our Jewish friends, especially, and we have some extraordinary Christian friends, put that up on the website, their websites, where people will see it. I will tell rabbis, since his idea was so cool, at the New York Board of Rabbis, put it up on their website. We'll just have to get it out wherever we can and disseminate that information.
That's a great idea, because both of you are mentioning that as you said before, that you had not been aware of it. And you know what's really interesting is that there is a acknowledgement and a celebration of Jewish Heritage Month in Washington, D.C. They get some senators and congressmen together and do a little reception and celebration, but it's not very well publicized enough. And with these kind of efforts, we can promote and make more widely known the accomplishments of the American Jewish community since and before the founding of our nation. And I think that's very important in getting that message out, equally with Black Heritage Month and all the other celebrations, because we have a seat at the table as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we've honored Dr. King on his birthday, on his anniversary. We've done all kinds of things like that. I have since I've been doing the show. And it was, as I said 2 weeks ago when I just found out, I was stunned. So would I be willing to do, let me put this out.
I think I'm the one who told you. Passing
the word around that any calendar that does that, usually the calendars are from the synagogues, I'd be willing to give that synagogue a plug just for doing that.
Great, great. And, you know, some of the great makers of Jewish calendars, when you pick it up in your bank, you know, the banks used to produce them. I don't know if they do that in your neighborhood. But I remember in your old community of Brooklyn, of Flatbush, I'll bet you went to the bank and picked up, the new calendar, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a great idea, and I'd like to see that happen. Like, I was literally stunned when I found that out, because I do so many shows on Israel, Jewish jokes, Jewish folklore, all kinds of things, Israel accomplishments, a popular Jewish personality. You don't even know we're Jewish, but I had no idea that this month was the month to really celebrate.
Right.
I just want to say one more thing. It just reminds me. We talk, Rabbi mentioned, you know, about so many attacks over the years and what we went through, all of that. So my favorite joke is, for the holidays, they came, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat.
Let's eat, right, yes. Always, there's always, at a Jewish celebration or a gathering, there's always some food. But, you know, it's funny, you talked before about, with Rabbi Potasnik, so Jewish history and the sweep of Jewish history, we're talking about several thousand years and the impact on the world, as well as, you know, here in America. There are so many contributions that are not well known to Americans, for instance, if we're talking about heritage. Do you know that today the storyline, the plots, the characters that are fueling Hollywood and bringing in billions and billions of dollars to the American economy, keeping people, thousands and tens of thousands of people at work, started with two Jews? And I'll give you a guess if you want to take a stab at it as to where what I'm referring to.
Have no idea.
No idea.
None.
So in 1938, these two Jewish boys from Cleveland invented this character. And it was a character who had these powers far more than mortal men. And they called him Superman. And it was a comic book, and it cost a dime. And Superman took the nation by storm. Kids loved it. They started buying the comic book. They started buying it, hundreds of thousands of copies of it. And then the next thing, and these two Jewish boys, one of them was Jerry Siegel, and who was the writer, and Joe Shuster was the artist. Then came, two Jewish kids. Then came Batman. Somebody invented Batman, a guy named, you know him as, if he signs his name, Bob Kane. But really his name was Bob Cohn. And he invented Batman. And we go down the line of all the characters, Superman, Batman, then a guy named Stanley Lieber, and Jack Kirby, which is really wasn't his name. It was it escapes me right now, but something like Kerbowitz or something like that. All these young Jewish men in the United States invented these characters, made up these fictional characters that today we call superheroes. How many movies have you seen or have you seen advertised in the last 10 years of all these characters? They each make $1 billion. They're around the world, and it's an American product. It's like I said, fueling Hollywood's, you know, domination in the world of popular culture, and it all comes from basically the characters created by these Jewish boys in the mid part of the last century. How many people?
Very interesting trivia. That is really interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
Because I grew up with them as my heroes.
And it's really amazing that when I was a kid, it was a joke about, oh, you know, maybe there was a TV show. Superman had, you know, was always on radio or TV, and then Batman, there was a TV show. But nobody ever thought it would rise to the level of being a billion-dollar movie that continues to dominate, you know, the blockbusters that come out of Hollywood. And today, in celebration of American, Jewish heritage, I believe it's this week or next week, another movie, Wonder Woman. Do you remember Wonder Woman?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so here's
course.
Wonder Woman is going to be, so first of all, a role model for girls, a superhero, a blockbuster movie, a multi-million dollar budget, and played by who? An Israeli actress.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this an Israeli actress is playing Wonder Woman, and look how far we've come. When 60, 70 years ago, 80 years ago, Jews no need to apply, no need to try to get a job,
right.
And here. Today, the contribution to American society, to the world, entertainment, messages. What's the message? The message of Superman, truth, justice, and the American way, right? It wasn't about just the Jews. It wasn't a parochial message. It was about the values of America, helping those who need help, the needy, the those in poverty, those the homeless, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry. That was the original message of Superman. What was the message of Batman? The message was justice. Have to get justice. And Wonder Woman, also now today, when the movie comes out, and I'm not plugging this, I don't have stock or I'm not related to this, but I think it's really important for people to know and for listeners, both Jewish and not, of the contributions of Jews to America, to the world. You were saying before, not just in the sciences, not just in politics and in the academic world, and that's a whole nother show.
Medicine, technology, innovation, right?
But even just turning on your TV and seeing the message, it's not a message. It's not a narrow message. It's a message for all Americans. We believe in truth and justice. And that's, I think, what we need to strive for, and we need to remember that that's been a contribution, among other things, of the American Jewish contribution to this country.
But I would say now, right now, more than ever, what we are dealing with in our politics, that's a whole other show, we need truth and justice more than ever.
Oh, absolutely, yes. As Rabbi Potasnik said earlier, quoting the Torah, choose life, as he said, one important message that God relates in the Torah, but also justice, that's what you shall seek. And so these are the messages that Judaism has contributed to civilization, and through picked up by Christianity and Islam. And so at the core is the message, we go back to what we're going to be celebrating tonight, right, in the Shavuot, the commemoration and celebration, among other things, of God giving the Torah to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. And here it is, whatever number you want to use, 3,500 years later, and that message is embedded in the major religions around the world, certainly in the Abrahamic religions. And this is something that we should be proud of. We should stand up and say, listen, this is something that we believe we received at Sinai, that, as you know, the tradition is all Jews, all Jewish souls were at Sinai to hear to hear God and to hear Moses deliver this message. And it's something that as you rightfully said before, we should be proud of, and we should stand up and say, listen, this is who we are. We should stand together as people of good will of all faiths and work together to make the world a safer, more peaceful place.
Absolutely. I just want to say the message of truth is so important, because if you can't trust what you hear, what kind of foundation do you have? Everyone is entitled to their own opinions. No one is entitled to their own facts.
Right, right. And then right there in the Torah, in the Ten Commandments, which actually in Hebrew the word is devarim, which is words or statements. An interesting part about learning Jewish history, which I commend, you know, or recommend to everyone, Jewish and not, because this is the history of our Western civilization as well, is it was changed. The word was changed from the Hebrew along the way. I believe it was the 16th century in one of the many interpretations of the Bible. It became commandments, but it's really statements. And these statements live with us today. And one of them, getting to your point, is do not bear false witness against your neighbor. And, you know, that's, in other words, don't lie.
Yes,
don't lie about,
right,
you know,
on.
And that's sort of a fundamental statement and directive to us as both Jews and as a goodwill people of all faiths. And I agree with you.
So it's kind of like we're in a whole other world today, a whole other culture with the politics. Again, that's a whole other show or a whole other 10 shows. But the truth does prevail, and I believe sooner or later the karma will catch up to the powers that be that's making this so much of a worse world today. It's very scary.
Well, we need to know, you're right, we need to know our history. We need to know facts. And, you know, I was in Israel a couple of weeks ago meeting with a major Catholic order who invited a group of rabbis from around the world to meet with them and to discuss how we can work together. And it was fascinating because they are so supportive of the Jewish people in Israel, and even to the point where they sing the Shema Yisrael as a tribute to the Jewish people. But while I was there, I got to go to an organization which has put together, wants to present Israel and the Jewish people in the most positive way. This is something Rabbi Potasnik alluded to before, in terms of how we have to present ourselves in with all the accomplishments and all the positives that you had mentioned. And they put together a 5-minute video, and this was fascinating, Joyce, because all the things that Israel has developed, as you say, the medical technology and the computer chips and the solar panels and all the inventions that have come out of Israel that people don't even realize help them every day, that they use every day. This is something that's developed in the state of Israel. And we need to do, and that's the point of this, we need to do a better job of making sure people know it and understand it in the nicest way, in the most positive way, so people will appreciate what Jews in Israel have contributed to the world and continue to contribute way out of proportion to the number of Israelis and Jews there are in the world.
Yeah, there are miracles after miracles of what they brought forth to make the world so much of a better place. You brought up the Ten Commandments, perfect point, and Israel, major, major accomplishments. What else would you like to say that you're most proud of being a Jew and as regards to Israel?
Well, you know, that I'd love to, when I get a hold of that video, when they're ready to put it out, I'd love to share it with you, because it really does. It does make you so proud to know that while other nations and peoples may be focusing on building, you know, bombs and landmines and
yes,
just doing nefarious things that do not that take away the instruments of death. Here is Israel doing all these wonderful positive things that contribute to making people's lives better. But you ask a good question. You know, I talked about the future, now and the future, and technology, and what they have lined up for the future with regards to solar energy and turning, you know, the old classic Israel turning deserts into filled with flowers and fruit and that
the land of milk and honey.
Yeah, But you go back. One of the things that I'm proud of is also the past. The past. I walked into many years ago. We are from the same neighborhood in Brooklyn, and many years ago there was a Jewish bookstore. And I walked in. I wanted to get one of the Book of Maccabees with a Jewish commentary. The Book of Maccabees, which of course there are the first two, are written by Jews for Jews, and it didn't exist because of the rabbinical ban on reading the Book of Maccabees in the Orthodox world, and so nobody had really tackled writing the Book of Maccabees with a Jewish commentary. And that, in my head, said, wait a second, what other books are we not looking at and seeing? And so I took that idea, and I went to some of my academic college professor friends and said, you know what, we should put together all the literature and biblical era writings that have not are not part of the Bible, the Torah, and have it presented publicly from a Jewish point of view. And so one of the things I'm very proud of is that out of that notion came this three-volume set called Outside the Bible, which has been recently published by the Jewish Publication Society, which for the first time in history puts all these ancient Jewish writings together with a Jewish commentary. And so for me, that is a contribution, to the knowledge base of the Jewish people, and you don't have to just be Jewish to read it. These are all incredible writings from the late Second Temple period that, we're both Jesus and Hillel and walked the land. So that's something that I'm proud of, being able to get that out there to the people.
Well, the story of the Maccabees, for those who might not know, talking about extraordinary courage for survival, the fight for survival in the face of insurmountable odds of the enemy. So I love the story of the Maccabees.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, when you were growing up, did you ever, nobody, unlike Purim, which is the festival that commemorates the Queen Esther and Mordecai's victory over the evil Haman, we don't read, right? You don't remember reading the Book of Maccabees on any holiday on Hanukkah or Hanukkah.
Correct.
Because for many reasons, the rabbis were not big fans of the Maccabees. But it's still our story, and I thought it was very important for us to take back our story and have it told from with a Jewish commentary to it. So, that's something that I think is valuable, an invaluable addition to Jewish history.
When I think of the movie Exodus, which I've seen several times with Paul Newman as the star of that movie, that was the most extraordinary story I've ever seen to really drive home the point of what Jews went through, one facet of history that they went through. And I'm almost certain that Paul Newman is of Jewish heritage.
I believe you are correct. I believe he is one of his parents were Jewish.
Yes.
And
yes.
So there's another, as you and Rabbi Potanznik said earlier, the accomplishments of the Jewish people, not very well known. But here is Paul Newman, who has, Jewish heritage and history. And I think, that song by Adam Sandler,
the Hanukkah song.
I think he does
yes.
refer to Paul Newman as being, half Jewish. So there's another way to get that information out if you're an Adam Sandler fan, I guess.
So what I want to ask of you is, what message do you want to leave our folks today? What would your message be?
Well, I think, based on what we've discussed and being that this is the eve of Shavuot, one of our great feasts where the people in the temple period, were in instructed to remember and read and study. And I think what I'd like to say is we should read, all of us, Jews, non-Jews, the history and the Torah and the stories of where we come from, and learn to, and appreciate the positive messages that are embedded within, you know, our scripture and all holy books and all texts, holy texts, of living together and respecting each other and following the Ten Commandments, and of course the number one commandment of thou shalt not do unto others what you would not like done to you. And I think that if we live by that, we will be a much better society.
It's funny that you mentioned the Golden Rule, because one of our frequent guests is a gentleman named Len Cain, twice nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, twice.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's being nominated again this year. So that is the Golden Rule Society. That's his organization. He comes from everything. The Golden Rule, and on his website, goldenrulesociety.org, are all the ways you can contribute to veterans, to people. I mean, his whole life is about that. And that warranted two nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's terrific.
I just want to say that I feel so blessed, the caliber of guests that not only accept my invitation to be on the show, always leave me with Joyce, anytime you want me and I'm free, I'll be back. And I've had the best of the best always, and I feel very proud of that. And as I said, that's got me through my medical challenges and my world of obstacles, because I really want to be here to make that difference.
Well, we're honored to be with you, to be talking to you. You are a passionate, inspirational, and we appreciate being with you as well.
So I have two requests from you as we're winding down here. One is, please give me a little notice when you go to Israel, whenever that is. I will give you a note to put in the wall for me, with
Absolutely.
To write on a note. That is so meaningful to me. When I went to Israel, I had put three notes in the wall, one on the left, one on the right, one in the middle.
Mm. So are you covering, so, you're covering all your
yes.
all your bases, so to speak?
Well, when you say covering bases, I'm very tight with Father McWeeny as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When I get into health challenges, I call the rabbi and I call Father McWeeny, because I want to cover all the bases.
Well, you got two of the best, so that's terrific.
I agree. Now three, I'm including you. And I'd love you to say a prayer for our folks as well, a blessing, a prayer, right now.
So I think in honor of the holiday that starts tonight, Shavuot, I pray and hope that we learn the lessons of the Bible, of the Torah, of being treating each other with love and respect, and of course in for all of those who are experiencing medical issues or health problems, we pray that God gives you a speedy and full recovery.
Thank you, Rabbi. And folks, my message to you all is, make someone happy today. And my prayer is, may yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And folks, we invite you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you could do that right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mash. Thank you, and God bless you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again, as Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun. She's
wow.
a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.